Hello and welcome to another episode of the Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and I'm very excited to say that joining me in this episode is the fabulous Robin James, also known as Man for Himself. Now, Robin and I met the end of 2017 at an event to do with thinning hair. We both have issues with it, and we were talking about the personal experience we had had in front of an audience, and it just turned out to be a bonding moment, and I couldn't wait to get him on the show. He has a hugely successful YouTube channel, Man for Himself, where he gives style, grooming advice, and actually, I went on a bit of a deep dive into his channel when I started researching this conversation that we're about to have. And there's a video in there, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes. His audience might be predominantly male, but there's one particular video that's as applicable to women as it is to men. I mean, obviously, just take out the male clothing and swap it for a female version. But the rules and the insight he gives into how to find a signature style, how to not make a wrong buying decision when it comes to your fashion choices, it's actually, I watched it and I was like, oh, I wish somebody had told me this. This is such a brilliant, brilliant idea. Stops you being a slave to fashion while also remaining fashionable. So yes, I'm going to be putting the link to that in the show notes. Robin's lovely. I had such a ball talking to him. The conversation actually spilled out. We went out for dinner afterwards, and I think it was about 4 hours of more gassing. So I hope you enjoy this chat. He's a really fascinating guy. He tells a story of his background, of how he got into doing the YouTube channel, of what he was doing before, which was very interesting, and how all these things kind of led him to the journey that he's on now, creating this incredible content. I will put all of the links to Robin in the show notes. He's great fun. Just please engage with him, follow him, love him. He's excellent. And actually, another thing that was so good about this is that at the end of the recording, he said, I think I might want to start my own podcast. And I said, do it, do it. The more of us podcasting, the better. Do it, do it, do it. And then a few days later, we were WhatsApping and he was like, and I said, do it, do it. Anyway, lo and behold, he's published his first podcast already very quickly because he's very savvy with things like this. If you listen to the show, you'll understand why. He has a brilliant broadcasting background where he explains where he picked up his skills. If you look at his videos, they are beautifully edited. He has got a real eye and a talent for this. That sounds really patronising. Wasn't meant to be. It's just very admirable how he cuts together his videos. So yes, I will put the link to the podcast that he's done because I'm so happy to have another member of the Pod Squad, hashtag Pod Squad, hashtag Pod Fam. Shout out to Lindsay Kalk and Harry in LA, who are also part of the Pod Squad, and also the girls, Carlene and Jill from Breaking Beauty. You are firmly within the Pod Squad, my darling, darling friends. So that's it. I hope you enjoy this episode. If anything in the chat means you think, oh, I'd quite like to ask Emma about this, or I'd be really interested to ask Robin, why not email me? It's so simple, thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram and Twitter where I'm at Emma Gunns. That's at EMMAGUNS. And obviously, if you really enjoy the show, then why keep it to yourself? Go over to iTunes, click that 5-star button, and maybe write a little review about what you like. 5-star reviews only, obviously. We don't want any 1-stars ruining the average. Here it is. I'm so pleased to have him on the show. I can't wait to have him back. He's such a brilliant, open, wonderful guest. Here it is, The Emma Gunn Show with Robin James, also known as, I don't know if it's an AKA or just Robin James colon, like Lord of the Rings colon, the Fellowship of the Ring. I don't know. Robin James, a man for himself. It's another episode of The Emma Gunn Show, and I'm here with someone super special. It's Robin James.
Hi, Emma Gunns. It's me, Robin James.
Or a man for himself.
No A, just man for himself.
Oh, not a man.
No.
Man for himself.
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, goodness, look at me putting an A in where I shouldn't have.
Please don't. No.
Terrible, so off brand. Right, you have a hugely successful YouTube channel. You're quite the Robin arches his eyebrows seductively. We've decided we might actually do this podcast as a slight radio play.
I think it's got winner written all over it, yeah.
Mm. Well, no, describe for the listeners then, because I don't want to screw it up. I've already got the name wrong. Describe for the listeners who you are and what you do.
So this is like now my sort of CV moment. My name is Robin James. Mm. I am 30 years old. and I run a men's, it's like dating. I'm like, by the way, if anyone is interested in dating me after this, then please do get in touch.
What are you looking for?
Oh God, that's, I mean, should I sell in who I am first and then tell you what I want?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do that.
I feel like we're going to go off in tangents on numerous occasions during this.
This is okay.
So my YouTube channel, it's called Man From Self. I've got a blog that goes with it, manfromself.com. Essentially, really, it's men's style and grooming. That's mm-hmm. what it is. Men's style, lifestyle and grooming. Grooming's the stuff that does the best in terms of search and what guys really want and are looking for. But I also have an interest in classic style trends, not so much, but kind of what guys will wear to make them feel good mm-hmm. about themselves. And then the lifestyle bit that comes with it, basically drinking too many cocktails and talking about it as if I know what I'm doing. But I've had that for, it'll be 5 years this April, my YouTube channel. And it's just over 5 years for the blog. So it's fairly established in sort of blogger terms.
Yeah, in blogger years, like dog years, that's, I mean, you're a veteran.
I'm a veteran now, yes, yeah. But I went full time in this last January, so it's 2 years, yeah. It's just over 2 years. Happy birthday to me. Yeah.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Well, I am taking you to Nando's afterwards,
yes,
so we'll celebrate then.
Yeah.
We'll ask them to be heavy-handed with that peri-peri.
Oh, please, yeah.
So much to talk about, even just from that. So you've been doing this for 5 years, mm-hmm. but you went pro with it. Is that what you said?
Yeah, well, I just went full-time in it. When I first went, so my background is in TV. Mm-hmm. I studied politics and history at university, as you do, and then I did a postgrad in broadcast journalism, and I wanted to be like hard news, like there is war, people dying, this is me in a very chic suit in some war zone. And then, as you do when you sort of get into that sort of thing, I started to do more sort of entertainment stuff, and that kind of became my thing when we were doing...
Is that entry-level journalism?
Yes.
Before we give you Syria, I'm afraid you're going to have to go and do TOWIE.
Yeah. Right. Everyone else was doing sort of like this, 7 people have died and a blah, blah, blah. And I was always like, so Katie Price has just gone. So like, and I was like, okay, I think this might be my calling here. And then I got my first job in reality TV. It was a show called 7 Days and it was on Channel 4, if anyone knows about this show. But it was by the same people that did Gogglebox, Judo Lambert. Mm. So like really good first job, really landed on my feet with that. It was through Channel 4. Basically, I got the job because I was wearing pink socks and the commissioning editor actually actively said, I love your socks. Basically, there was two people that got that job and I basically had one created, which was great. A sort of entry thing, interactive reporter, interactive producer and reporter. And that kind of lasted a 12-week run. Then the show mm-hmm. didn't kind of get recommissioned. So that was good. It was a really great start. And then I moved into Sky Living online, well, which used to be Sky Showbiz. All the sort of galleries of like stars that have wet hair and stars putting bins out, all that sort of stuff. But I did that and I did some sort of red carpet stuff and I did some fashion weeks and I was like, I really love this. And then I went to Australia for, I'm really giving my life here, went to Australia for 12 weeks, came back, worked at NBC Universal, with like E Channel, Universal Channels, Sci-Fi. And I basically ended up doing digital marketing, which I hadn't realised at the time and realised that I hated it because I was really trying to sort of package and sell these shows, which I didn't believe in. So as a result, I was like, do what you love. So I set up my own YouTube channel because I saw it as a bit of an opportunity. There's loads of girls doing the beauty thing, but no guys doing the grooming thing.
Is it a side hustle?
Yeah, totally. I think it's really interesting. I've seen a lot of people online recently, like the old school bloggers who are saying, you know, if you're getting into this now for the money, it's the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, like, I agree with them. I did it as a passion project because I truly loved it. And I loved, you know, sitting on a sassy when everyone else was out getting pissed. I was just getting pissed at my desk while writing and just like really enjoying it and spending hours playing with hair products and grooming stuff and creating an audience who were coming back and having this two-way dialogue with them. And, you know, that grew. I was in this job I hated. I then left. I went to ITV and I worked on entertainment programming, like Dancing on Ice, which is now back. I actually worked on the last series.
Isn't it just?
Many a celeb story to tell you about on that one. but I loved it and I enjoyed it. But I got to a point where my own stuff was taking off. Mm-hmm. And I thought, either do this or I don't. And I had a real moment of like, you need to jump ship and you need to give this a go. Because if you don't, someone else is going to do it and you're literally going to kick yourself. So I did it.
See, that's the thing. When I had Sally Hughes on the show and I asked her about the books that are over on my bookshelf. Mm-hmm. Robin's in my living room.
Robin turns his head seductively. and looks at the books. Yeah.
And we were talking about when she wrote her books and how when she went on the book tour, one of the things that people would say to her when she was on the book tour was, you know, how did you write a book? Mm. What does it take to write a book? And her advice was, if you have an idea for a book, then do it. Just do it, because someone else will. And what if someone else does it and they don't do it as well as you would? And so there is that thing of knowing when to plunge. There's having that confidence in your idea.
You've just got to go for it. I mean, I remember, like, I was on good money, not amazing money, but on good money for, you know, being at ITV. I'd moved across into marketing, then into creative. I'd launched ITVB, done the digital strategy, the influencer strategy, and I loved it. And I could really see kind of where I was going with that job. Like, I was moving up. But I was ultimately doing something which didn't 100% fulfill me. And I was like, I could be one of those people. And I'm sure there's people listening thinking, yeah, I'm kind of in that zone of there's something I really want to do, but actually the comfort and the security of this is just too good. I was also really lucky, you know, single, not married. Everyone, I'm still single.
No, we'll get to this.
We'll get to that. You know, like, no kids. I actually, you know, I was renting. So really, I was really low risk. And I had a bit of money I put behind me, jumped ship. And, you know, that first year, January, I'd always said, do 3 months, see how you get on and review it. January, February, March, I earned in 3 months, £200. Like, nothing. I literally earned
I know £200 is nothing.
I know £200. Like, seriously, that's not even going to get me a round of drinks. I was just like, what have you done? And then I then had a real moment of, do you know what, Robin? Like, absolutely get a grip. You can pull a mean pint. You can shake a cocktail. If anything goes tits up, like, you're not going to be stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many people who will do anything. Like, I literally will be on my knees for £200. No, I like a different sort of podcast going that way. Sorry, what are we, 5 minutes in and I'm already saying this? But no, I'm like, I'm not precious. Like, I would do anything. Not anything, but you know what? I would.
No, I know what you mean. I remember having some very lean times. I've talked about it on the podcast before a couple of years ago. And I was getting really, I was like, I don't know if I could work as a beauty journalist. And when I was talking to my friend who's in the industry, so she's very aware of the pressures and everything. And she said, so what you're saying is you're getting upset because no one's going to commission you to write about serums. Aw, poor baby.
Yeah.
Think about how many jobs there are out there. Go and work on a beauty counter, be their best eyebrow thing, you know. Go and work on a Benefit brow bar and outsell all of the competition.
That's it.
Like, don't be precious. Go and make coffees.
Also, create your own opportunities. You know, just really, just keep on going. I mean, obviously, there comes a point where you might be like, actually, I've got no cash and I can't afford anything. But I was just like, keep on going. And, you know, I got through that March, got through the April, stuff started coming in. And now I love my job. And that's one thing.
Oh, you can tell. You can really tell.
And you know, I'll be working Saturdays, Sundays, Fridays. I take time off when I can. You know, sometimes I get up and I'm like, I just need to get going. Like, on Monday, I was up at 5, couldn't sleep. I had too much on in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to just write and get going. But then yesterday, I physically couldn't get up because I was exhausted.
Yeah.
But that's one of the great things about working for yourself. You go with your own body, your own energy. If you feel good, you'll stay up, you'll do it. You work Saturday, you work Sunday, you work every evening. But if you feel like shit, you just can't. Fine, you're not earning money, but you just take some time.
Sometimes you do need an afternoon under the throw.
Yes, I've just witnessed said throw.
You haven't witnessed it, you experienced it. You held it like a pet.
Emma has got the best throw, which she told me was Arctic Fox, brackets full, close brackets. And it's quite something.
It's a comfort blanket. It is lovely and soft and luxurious and decadent and all of those things. God, it's everything I want in a lover.
And more. Yeah. And they don't talk back.
No, they don't.
No.
Depends how much tequila you've had. So I think this is very interesting because I think if you are pursuing a passion, and I know that's kind of that's a big umbrella term, sort of passion thing. But to go from doing a job that to a lot of people would be a very glamorous sounding job and seem like it was living the dream anyway, to say, actually, that's not quite where I want to be. Like, yeah, it's good. It covers the bills and everything. But I feel like this is over here, but not actually knowing what this, and I'm using, what are they called?
Finger commas.
But you don't actually know what it looks like, but to take a risk and jump. Would you say that you've just picked it up every day you've used as a learning curve, every day you've used as a like, right, tomorrow needs to look like this, or in 6 weeks' time I want to be doing this, so that means that this week I should probably do that. Like, have you had any strategy?
That question I like literally struggle with every day. I have got so many ideas in my head of things I ultimately want to do and kind of where I see myself, but it's the road to that, and I know there are many roads to get there, and it's kind of like how you navigate to get. I was, you know, there's never been a day where I have thought, oh, what do I do today? I don't have anything on. Like, I, there's always something to be done, and but like an actual structure of it, there's not really one. Like, I know in terms of, say, upcoming projects and the stuff that you can think about, as, you know, a traditional mag might have the seasons, you know, where that content is coming in, just because it always happens. But in terms of, like, I want to launch this then, I want to be here then, I want to be earning this, like, that is not something which I have, but something I have actively been thinking about. Like, should I get a business plan together? Should I be thinking more, like, holistically about the brand? You know, like, what is going on? So that's definitely something on the to-do list.
But I think that's it. I think it's very difficult to... I remember when I started this, someone said, oh, you should write a business plan. And actually, it was lots of thoughts and feelings and emotions rather than, you know, if you go onto lots of bank websites or these very helpful websites, they'll say, you know, template, download a PDF for your business plan. And I just thought, well, I can't really fill in that bit and I can't really fill in that bit. And then I felt inadequate. But it's just, I think, yeah, it's the thoughts and feelings and just knowing I've got all these ideas and I know that I can execute them, but I just need the time.
Totally. And that's the thing. I feel like what I loved about my old job and the sort of experiences I had was you had a team, and you know, if you had an off day, you could spin round to Susie and say, look, Susie, I'm going out for a boozy lunch, I'm probably not going to be back because I feel like shit. Can you get this done? Cool, yeah, I'll absolutely do it, and you can pick it up for me tomorrow. You know, I don't have that now. There's not someone that I can say, I'm just not feeling it, I just don't want to do it. Unfortunately, you've got to get up, however bad that hangover is or however bad the breakup's been or whatever it is. You've just got to get on. Which, one, is very empowering, because it really makes you very aware of everything you're doing, every single penny that you're earning or not. You feel very connected to that. And I think that's really important. I feel like something you don't get elsewhere. Like, my dad's got his own business, and I feel like he's probably been a sort of point of inspiration in that. Like, he does engineering, so it's definitely not styling grooming. But I've sort of seen what he's had to go through and sort of do in his own sort of world, and having his own commitments to things, and... like, he works every hour, and I've seen kind of what you can do with that. And that's kind of what I want and what I'm trying to do. But it is, like, it's lonely. Like, and recently I have taken someone on to kind of work more with me as a writer to really boost that content. I would always say it's not an assistant. Like, I don't need someone to fold my clothes and book cars for me. I want someone who is actively writing and creating something of substance and value for what I'm trying to do. And that has been a massive help. But... like, one of the things when you said about, I'm going off again on tangents. Tangents are great. When you said about, you know, the plans and things, I would just love a team. Like, I'd love an editorial team of people who were working with me, not for me, where we, you know, we talk every morning and we say, okay, what's coming up news-wise in this sphere? But also, you know, looking ahead, where do we want to be? How do we grow this? Who do we work with? And that's, like, I would love that.
It's a bit like how a magazine works in a way.
Totally. It's exactly the same model. Like, when I was at, you know, Sky Living in the morning, we'd have the style writers, the entertainment writers, the people that are talking about the shows. And we'd always have that. I mean, you'll know that, that morning news meeting. And you go around and everyone's like, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Okay, well, let's cross-pollinate the update that gallery, do this, do this, do this. And then, you know, someone ultimately, the editor, okay, well, we need to focus on this and this. You're doing that homepage. And I would love that.
So it's about creating a team that is able to execute what's in your brain.
Absolutely.
And trusting them just to go off and...
yeah. Trust is something I struggle with in every single part of my life. I think because the work sort of thing, I'm just so close to it. And because you're so close to it, it's your baby. When someone does... there's a few people that I have worked with and I'm like, I trust you implicitly. Like, there's a video guy I work with who just... we've worked together so closely that he just... he knows the way I'm going to move. I know where the camera's going. We work so well together, and we're also very, very different. Like, he's this sort of, he's really into rock music, and he's like all in black, long hair, and I'm just like this, like, get me my hairspray sort of thing. And it's like, but we work so well, and I'm just like, go off and do that. I totally trust you. There's also an illustrator I work with who just gets it, and she's great. And that's, I probably need to like let loose slightly and just kind of be like, okay, I'm going to let you do that. Please just get on with it and see how you get on. Like, it's a guy I'm going to be working with to edit some of my videos. And he was like, just send the rushes. So that's, you know, the unedited clips. Mm-hmm. Send that with a brief outline of what I want. And he's going to do that. And I am going to just let him get on with it and see what happens. But I'm like, oh God.
Are you going to need to be in a padded room?
I need to be padded. The thing is, no one's going to die. Like, it's styling grooming. It's like, I'm not working in A&E.
No.
Like, it's fun.
It is fun. It is fun. But when it's your business, there's emotional ownership. And emotional ownership can... Sorry, it's my head cold. It's preventing me from being able to speak properly. Emotional ownership can be quite a tangled web of...
God, yeah.
It stops you being able to make decisions with some clarity a lot of the time. All of the time.
All of the time.
Much of the time. Yeah.
But you do need those moments of stepping back and just sort of trying to have a moment and think, I was there, now I'm here. And that's tricky. You don't quite realise how much you've done until someone says, actually, you've done quite a lot. Mm. And you're like, oh, yeah, but I want more. Like, I want more and I want it now. It's like, you don't allow yourself to have that.
But then I don't think I've worked with anyone who has their own project or own business who isn't like that.
No.
And I think I was watching Suits recently and there's a character in it called Harvey Specter. Do you watch Suits?
No, but I feel like I should.
Excuse me.
Is it done now?
No, there's another series to come. But honestly, where we've left it, the end of halfway through season 7, because they had that cliffhanger. Excuse me. I went straight back to the beginning of the whole thing and started watching again. I was like, I'm not ready to leave you yet.
Oh my God.
Harvey Specter is the main character. And when he achieves this massive thing that you know that he's been wanting for a while, someone says to him, this is your dream and you're not happy. He says, I don't have dreams, I have goals. I've reached it, now on to the next one. And it's so clinical. Mm. But it made me chuckle because I thought, everyone I know who has, whether it's YouTube, own business, whatever it might be, they never really stop and appreciate that. And sometimes you have to have a network of people around you who shake you and say, do you realise you've had a YouTube channel for 5 years? You've got nearly 200,000 subscribers.
Good knowledge.
187,000.
Yeah, that's the one. 94% male, UK, US, India, growing very fast.
Really now? Mm. Interesting. So are you able to do that, or do you need someone to shake you by the shoulders?
No, I'm not able to do that. I also don't like when someone does say I'm doing well. I don't like praise, or I like staying in the zone. And I feel like if I come out of that, then it's like, it takes me a time to get back into it.
So does that mean that, I'm interested because I wonder this about me too, so this isn't me trying to project onto you, but is part of that because, do you ever think that if you indulge or lean into the success, you'll lose the appetite and the hunger and the drive?
No, I don't know if I would. I think if I indulge in the success, you just become a monster. Like, I've seen people in this space who are like, my Instagram's got this and I've got this and this. And I'm like, yeah, but you're actually just a dick. Like, you're a dick because you're indulging in this. And it's when people say fans, I'm such, like, I would never say fans. Mm-mm-mm. It's an audience. They are not fans. I'm like, no, because I have a dialogue with people. If someone sends me a private message, I will reply because it's a two-way thing.
Yeah.
You are giving someone content to consume, but you also want to know how they're feeling with it.
Mm.
And you want to have that conversation. It's not fans. I'm not, I was going to say Rita Ora, obscure, but I'm going with that. I am not Rita Ora.
I have
yet.
I have seen his phone. I've seen his camera roll. Yeah. There's a lot of side boob.
Yeah, there's a lot of side boob. Yeah. Although I look great with a side boob, don't I? Yeah.
Yeah, no, you really do. No, sorry. That's being really shady towards Rita. I'm just very jealous.
She's great.
She's got an incredible
When body. I worked on the launch for The X Factor, it was Nick Grimshaw, Rita Ora, Cheryl. And Simon, and I was in the digital team for ITV Creative. We'd come up with this whole digital idea. And Rita was just like, she is a babe. She was someone that the camera just goes and every single frame is pop, pop, pop. Mm. I was like, you are a force.
Yeah.
Like,
it was amazing. She's a natural born star.
She was just, I was like, that is training. You're just great.
And also, I'm sort of that thing now where if I was 10 years younger or 15 years younger, I'd probably be obsessed with her.
Yeah.
But she's not really, I'm just a little bit outside of her radar. But every picture I see of her, I'm like, oh my God, I wish I looked like her. She's just
a babe. She's someone I just think oozes sex. Like, do you know, someone's just like, they are sexy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't buy that. Like, you either have it or you don't. It's just like that actual animal thing that women, I mean, you don't even have to like it, but it's like women and men both look at them and it's that primal thing in you. And you're just like, there's something
there's
about
an admiration
them.
And a desire just to keep looking.
Yeah, totally.
Sure, it's similar to, someone might jump down my throat for comparing her to Madonna, but they're the same thing that Madonna had, where you just couldn't take your eyes off her.
Totally.
She was just,
like,
she was amazing.
Yeah.
We have to talk, right, so I have been watching Man For Himself YouTube channel on a loop all day today. I've been working from home.
Of course.
Indulging. My morning got cancelled, so I was like, right, I shall just submerge myself, immerse myself in you. And weird.
Weird yet enjoyable.
Robin arches his eyebrows.
Another arch of the eyebrow, yeah. Just one.
I do think we should turn this into a radio play. Yeah, maybe that could be a side hustle.
There's a knock at the door. I was going to knock on the table. This microphone's on. I don't want it to fall off.
Yeah, it
looks very professional setup you've got here, Emma.
It looks stable, but it doesn't look stable at all. It should look stable, but it's not.
It looks glorious.
It's fine. Maybe we'll take a picture and I'll put it on Insta stories. But I was watching the channel today and I was like, oh, I didn't realise it was so polished and produced. So I wondered, do you do all of that? Because it looks really good. And are those skills that you had to learn from scratch?
Yes and yes. So basically a lot of the stuff I got from doing my postgrad, which was broadcast journalism at City University, and I would very much recommend it to anyone that wants to get into radio.
Where's
or TV.
City University?
On City Road, so between Old Street and Angel.
Oh, okay, London City.
Yes, London City. And I moved down from Scotland. I rocked up to my interview late, and the teacher who was like, AFOS, was like, you're late. And I was like, shit, I'm literally not going to get in this course. Then we had to do a screen test. And I was like, this screen test is literally going to be the only way I can get onto this course. So
what did you do?
So she was like, you've got 30 seconds. We didn't even have 30 seconds. Something crazy. So you speak 3 words per second. She was like, I need exactly 30 seconds or something. So we had to do 90 words. And I scripted it. And I basically did word for word exactly why I was late. Like, she wanted basically us to do something about some local news story, and I was like, no, I need to just literally sell myself on this. I was like, some of you may be wondering why I'm late. I'm from the northeast of Scotland, where there's one bus every 30 minutes. Here, there was just too much going on in London. And she was like, And then they were like, okay, well, you've got an interview with this other woman. I was like, no, I need her, because she's the one that is literally going to say, you're not on this course. Because she took an instant dislike to me, because I was late when everyone was doing an exam. And then I just went in there and I was like, hi, yeah, I was late, but you're going to let me on this course. And then I got on. So that was kind of like where I kind of first had a bit of an understanding of the whole sort of media world. I mean, obviously you're training, so that you don't really fully understand what a working newsroom's like. I did radio production. I did some TV. I also did some online. And we did blogging when it wasn't really a thing, I suppose. Like, that was 2009, so it's like 9 years ago. And I remember the tutor.
Oh, yeah, that would have been like...
Yeah.
I can imagine the meeting. Should we put this on the syllabus? Yeah. Is it going to be a thing?
Yeah, it was called online journalism, which essentially blogging is. But we had to come up with this idea, and I was like, okay, mine's going to be like showbiz, but it was very much going to be, as a blog, you know, me talking about what I like. And out of all the things I did, I got the lowest score in online journalism because the guy told me, it's too much about you. Why would anyone care what you think? And I'm now like, Marcus, fuck you. Because this is my full-time job. And I actually checked your LinkedIn, mate, and you're not doing very much. So anyway, I mean, we should probably beep over his name. I don't know. But I'm just like, it's like, that's a real lesson too. If someone tells you no, or why should someone care, you tell them why they should care. Because I've got an opinion. And I'm not saying everyone's going to agree with it, but go with it. So that was a major learning. And that's kind of also where I learned about basic production of, you know, using cutaways where it's not the interviewee and you're using almost like wallpaper of someone holding a cup or a mug or a gorgeous plant in the corner of the room. And you do that so that you can cut it so that you don't have a jump cut where basically someone's face suddenly moves.
Yes.
And I've always the way that I work, I've always stuck to those things because it's my training. Mm-hmm. So I want everything to feel smooth. I want it to feel comfortable. I want the audience to come with you. I don't want them to feel like it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really take a long time with my edits. Some stuff, when you want it to feel super authentic and very vloggy, you will do a jump cut and a harsh cut, but it needs to feel right.
Mm.
So for me, that's important. The production needs to feel like it should be and could be on TV. I mean, who watches TV these days? But you know what I mean? Like, it should feel polished. And so when I'm producing stuff, I take a long time scripting things. So I do a lot of research, be it on hair, grooming, style. I'll have it all written down and I'll write an article first and then I'll pull pieces out and then I'll talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do it like that. And I will sit with an iPad next to me and I kind of do a basic skeleton script and I just work my way through. But while I'm also doing it, I know how I'm going to edit it. So I know that if I need to move into something to give it a bit of energy, mm-hmm. or if I need to look away, because talking straight down a camera for so long is uncomfortable for everyone.
Mm.
So just knowing those moments, I think, is really important.
Your edits are just so good. I was watching, there was one where you were getting ready and I was sort of walking around doing some bits, and it was, you were in a, I think you were in a hotel room with stairs and it was really warm. You said, honestly, I think it's 27 degrees in here. But there was you coming down the stairs and there was you going in, and I was like, how many times did you have to move the camera?
Yeah, I moved it. So that was, it was a press trip and I was like, this room is gorgeous, but it is roasting. And I thought, I kind of want to do a get ready with me, just kind of like them. But yeah, I had to film that about 6 different times because it was from different angles. But I also needed to remember the energy that I had for moving into that, so it didn't feel like a different cut. So I would do things over and over again to have the same,
mm-hmm.
and just kept on doing it. But that's because I'm editing in my head.
That's so interesting. And then the thing that you told me just before we started recording was that you have, and you emphasised that it was basic voice training.
Oh God.
And then I realised that adds, without you even realising, that adds a real professional touch to, it complements the editing.
Yeah.
Because you said, oh, you know, so I'm quite practiced at not saying or all of that kind of stuff.
We got marked down. It was like part of the broadcast thing again too. And you know, we'd sit and we'd have to script these bulletins and you'd have to hit a hard finish because it was a commercial radio station. They've got ads. And if you hit that, there's no money coming in.
Mm.
And they also made a point of no as, they always said, if you've got nothing to say, sit in silence. Because actually in doing that, someone leans in because they're waiting for the next thing you say. If I was going, it's literally just better to be quiet.
Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating.
That eyebrow's going again. Do you find that that's something that you use with people?
Yeah, probably. I find it's, so whenever I go on dates, which is not that often, I'm still single.
28 minutes really, from when you last told us.
Really pushing that one. No, I always feel like I kind of go into interview mode.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm still me and I'm still like feeling comfortable and I'm still natural. But I do think a lot about what I'm saying and where I'm going with things.
Mm.
And that's something which actually is a little bit frustrating because when I'm constantly talking, I'm like, where am I going with this? Where am I going with this? Okay, you're going over here and that's that. And that's almost like what I would do in like a job interview or going on a date. And it's, I think it maybe gives people the wrong sense of a real confidence in you.
Right.
But that's probably something you just use as a mechanism to make everything feel very comfortable and relaxed and, you know, looking away at the right point and moving into something. Like, I'm very conscious of how my body like moves in filming and doing things and how that sort of will make someone feel.
Really? Like, okay. Did you pick that up?
So I've done it because when I sit and edit myself, I don't see it as me. So when I first started doing YouTube, I was hypercritical.
Mm.
And actually, when you watch my first videos from 5 years ago and you look now, I literally look a different person.
Mm.
I move differently. I talk differently. I made a real concerted effort to lower my voice because it gave me more authority. And also, I was a bit like, I was really like, it was like super camp and it was like, and that's fun. And that's, and it's like a lot of people get into that. But also for the average guy, that can be very off-putting.
Mm.
Now, I very much talk like me, but I think as a result of changing things as I went, I'm probably further away from what I was. But also, you know, sitting and editing myself a lot, you do become hypercritical and sensitive to everything you do. But I also realised that in moving at the start of a video, you're pulling someone in. So quite often at the start of a video, I'll step into it if I'm standing, or I'll look down and up, or I'll know to look away, or I'll pause, or I'll go, you can give a little like, or a little laugh or something. And that's not me being just like, that's not me being like fake. It's just literally something that I've learned just from watching myself. But now I do it as something that I'm just being very natural. But it's funny because you sit there and you watch, because people say, oh, how can you watch yourself and how can you listen to yourself? And when you start doing it, like if you hear your voicemails back, you're like, oh God, I sound vile. But to people that know you, you just sound like you.
I think this is very interesting in terms of, let's use the platform of Instagram, where we know that there are people on Instagram who heavily filter and face-tune themselves. Because when they see the picture, they don't like it and they want to present something different. So what you've done, in a sense, is a much more constructive filtering. Because you're looking at yourself, you're criticizing yourself constructively in order to be the finished product without any tinkering.
Yeah.
So actually, it's a self-improvement thing. Mm-hmm.
I feel like since doing this, and I've just moved flat, actually, last October, and I live by myself.
I just done the apartment tour.
The apartment tour. It's gorgeous.
I'll put the link in the show notes, listeners.
Please do. And since living by myself and working by myself, I have become so much more aware of myself, like in every area of my life. Emotionally, physically, how I feel about things, what makes me happy, what makes me sad, which is very few things, actually. I feel like I'm just a very positive person. But I feel like I just know what makes me tick. And I also think, I hit 30 last year and I've never felt better. Like, I genuinely feel really good at 30. I'm just so aware of myself. I'm very aware of the people around me. I know who I like. I don't have a lot of time for people that I just can't be fucked with. I had a real, like, friend call.
Very common in the 30s.
I was just like, no, you bring me nothing. And I read, have you read the Marie Kondo book? So it's all about tidying. She's this tidying expert, if you've not heard of her. I was like, what is this wank? Seriously, like someone talking about tidying stuff. And I started reading it just before my flat moved, and it literally changed my life. She goes on about, does it bring you joy? And if it brings you joy, you keep it. If it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it. And although that's about clothing and things that you've got lying around, you can literally put it against every part of your life. Yeah. There's things now that I get invited to and I'm like, I have stopped going to a lot of events, evening events. And we kind of spoke about this before we started this. And I'm now at a stage of my career where I don't need to be going to the opening of a bloody envelope. Like, it's, if I want to go to it and I see value in it for my audience and for me, then I'll go.
But because one of the things, just for listeners who maybe aren't aware, is that when you talk about grooming, beauty, whatever it might be, these brands tend to have launches and they might do a cocktail party at a hotel or you might have a day launch, but it requires going, showing up, maybe being there for an hour or so. So that's what we were really talking about.
And that's, although that's very glam and having a free cocktail next to a pool somewhere and it's all a bit like, oh wow, what a life, a free vol au vent on arrival. It's like, yeah, it's great, but that's not, doesn't pay my bills. And it's like, I actually just would prefer sitting at home and writing and just, or being on Instagram stories and chatting to people and just like doing my job. Obviously, the launches and stuff have got a purpose, but back to the sort of, does it bring me joy? There was events I was going to and I was seeing other bloggers, a lot of whom I adore and get on really well with, and some people who I just don't want to deal with. And whenever they're there, it doesn't bring me joy. It makes me feel shit about myself. And you should never put yourself in that situation. If you can control how you feel about yourself, that's the most important thing. Do not put yourself in that situation. So I'm now very much putting that, does it bring you joy, filter on everything in my life.
And life is better.
So much better, yeah. Like, I don't feel obliged to go to things or to do things, or when someone says, hi, can we send you this? And no, you can't. Because I'm not going to do anything with it, or I don't want to waste your time, and it's not going to bring you joy, it's not going to bring me joy. It's like, I mean, I'm going a bit over the top with the does it bring you joy sort of thing.
But no, it's boundaries, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've kind of like put them across my whole life.
I think it's a really important thing to do, and I think, I don't know, maybe it's the world of media, which obviously I sort of grew up in as well, where you sort of feel like you have to be open to everything and everyone, and you have to say yes to everything and go to whatever, and it becomes quite draining. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's a very healthy...
The power is in saying no.
Oh yeah.
And knowing when to say yes.
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 It sounds easy, but it's quite a difficult muscle to build.
So difficult, yeah. And it's just being true to your own filter in any part of your life. You know, if you've got a friend who's saying, your friend Sally's saying, hey, let's go out for wine. And you're like, do you know what? Sally just makes me feel crap about myself. Mm. But Sally's one of those friends who's friends with her other mates. And I feel like I've just got to say yes to her to keep her on board. No, you don't. You really don't. You can be honest with her and say, do you know what? I'll see you with the girls, but we don't need to do something by ourselves, because you don't bring me joy, Sally. You don't bring me joy. You don't even bring me wine. But it's like, do you know what? Just don't. Life is too short to be doing things you don't want to do.
Mm. Well, Jules Hovon Hepp, a friend of yours, a friend of mine, a friend of the listeners, I know, he very famously said on the podcast that he did with me, he stays away from mood hoovers. Mm. And I know many, many people love that expression.
I love that.
Yeah, he just said, if you're with somebody and they hoover up your mood and make you feel bad, get out of town. Get the hell away from them.
Jules is a really good creature. I mean, we kind of spoke about him before, but I went for a spray tan with Jules about it was the start of the year. It must have been the start of the year. Went in and you've got to get down to your pants and it's all a bit like, oh God, I'm really naked here. But Jules is someone that just instantly puts you at ease.
Mm.
And he went, your body's great. And I went, oh God, shut up. And he went, I just gave you a compliment. Say thank you. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, shit. Thanks. And he was like, no. He was like, one of his friends had said to one of his celeb mates had said basically exactly the same thing. If someone gives you a compliment, just take it. Mm. Say thank you.
Yeah. He's completely right.
It's so true. It's like words to live by.
And I commissioned him to write something last year, and it was about how every single time anyone gets in his booth, the first thing they say is, I'm sorry, or they make some sort of apology for how they look. And he was like, you've all got to stop doing it.
Yeah, of course.
He's amazing. You touched on something there, but I just want to get your opinion on. Mm-hmm. You talked about your journalism course, and you talked about it was called online journalism / blogging. And I wondered if you had any thoughts on the fact that, I know when I first started hearing about bloggers, it was when I was a print journalist. And so I thought, oh, this will never catch on. They're not trained. And who doesn't say that they felt like that, I think might be telling a wee fib. It seemed a bit ridiculous that somebody could write about the same product that I was writing about for a magazine. I had a title that said beauty editor and I'd been to journalism school, thank you very much. But actually there'd be more weight and emphasis on someone else's. Did you find that when you started your blog, that maybe there was a bit of journo versus blogger feeling, or did you feel like you had to prove yourself a bit harder?
Totally. And I think until maybe only the end of last year, I was always, when I was introducing myself, oh, I'm Robin, I'm a online journalist, or I would never really say blogger. I never said YouTuber, I'd always say YouTube creator. And I always then said, I worked in TV for 6 years. It was like, I always made a point. But I worked in TV for 6 years. Like, take me seriously is what I was kind of saying.
Yeah.
But really now I feel like, ugh, I don't really need to do that. Like, I'm pretty happy. And also, like, the thing.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Thing is, sorry, just put my feet up on your sofa. I'm getting very comfortable here, listeners. Sorry, guys, I'm just calling you listeners now. I'm enjoying that. Do you have like a squad name? Is there a thing there? Do you have like a collective noun?
No, maybe I should. What, you mean like Beliebers?
Yeah. Or does that move into fan territory, which neither of us are a fan of?
No, I'm a big no.
No, maybe not.
I just like listeners.
I enjoy listeners.
I DM and message and email with so many people like, on a daily basis.
That you literally know people like by name.
If I bumped into a listener, I wouldn't say, oh, this is a listener. I'd say, oh, this is my friend. Or this is. I wouldn't put that demarcation between. Yeah. But it's funny.
It's weird, yeah.
Like, do you have the same with viewers?
No, I say like, hi, guys. Hi, guys. Hi, it's me. I'm waving.
It's a weird thing, yeah. No, fans really makes my teeth itch.
Yeah, fans just makes me want to, like, not be in this world. What was the question?
So I think what I was trying to get at was this sort of feeling that, and I totally know what you mean. I remember somebody saying to me, I was a freelance journalist. Yes. And I'd started the website before I had started the podcast. And someone was like, so are you a blogger now? And I remember feeling insulted and thinking, oh, she was really taking
a piss
out of
me. Yeah, she was really a bitch there.
What a cow. Because for me, blogger felt like a dirty word.
Totally. And it almost feels like I feel like to a certain extent, it's still a thing, especially with a lot of... I went on a press trip, actually, a bit of a story for you. There was this woman that I'd always seen around. I mean, we're not going to get into names.
Of course not.
And she was very old school. And she was like, she had worked in mags. Mm-hmm. And, I'm really like pussyfooting around in this on eggshells. And I remember seeing her at this thing. She's like, oh, we've never met. And I was like, oh, we've met a couple of times, like brackets, seven times. We actually got pissed together once. And she was like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I've got a blog. Oh, right, okay. And I was like, oh, what do you do? And she said, I've got an online magazine. I was like, okay. I said, oh, well, it's essentially the same thing then, isn't it? She went, no, I've got an online magazine. I was like, what's your background? She's like, well, I'm a journalist. And I went, yeah, I'm a journalist too. She's like, no, you've got a blog, you're a blogger. I went, hun, like, I've got the certificate to show I'm a journalist. Like, if you want to try and take me down here, you will not win. And then she said, I've also got a channel. And I was like, a channel? She's like, oh, a TV channel. And I went, oh, TV channel, wow. I went, well, where is it? She's like, well, you can search for it. It's on YouTube. And I went, oh, it's a YouTube channel. Well, but no, but we put, like, production into it. I'm sorry, hun, but those subscribers do not scream TV channel to me. That's like, do not give me that shit. Do not think that you're better than anyone else. We are all trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And also, it's the same skills. Mm. We're all writing. But, you know, you can think of it as not everyone is on an equal footing. But there's a feeling that all bloggers are the same. Mm. From someone sitting in their bedroom and putting stuff on their face, which I think is great, and I think we should allow people to do more of that and to be writing and to be doing things in whatever way they want to do it. But if you think about magazines, you can take The Vogue versus a Daily Mail. You know, Vogue is going to have a different sort of commercial proposition, mm-hmm, and be making the money in a different way. However, Daily Mail has got a different tone of voice, but really has got a larger viewership or readership.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's a similar sort of thing in terms of blogging. You know, we each take our own sort of niche, mm, but there's crossover, like there's completely crossover. And, you know, in 2018, welcome to 2018, we're all kind of competing for the same sort of market to a certain extent.
Mm.
And I've got friends that are still working for, you know, mags, and it's all moved online and things have been closed down and they're trying to pull in bloggers and things for all these influencer programs and awards because they're trying to leverage something.
Look at all the bloggers who've been put on covers of magazines.
Totally.
That's going to sell print.
Exactly. It's crazy. But it's exciting. I think it's really exciting. The whole thing is changing. And I feel like, you know, a lot of traditional journals now are turning to become influencers, which we need to discuss.
We need to talk about influencers. Term.
And it's like, oh, wow, we've got a phone. Is that mine? My phone's actually charging, guys, and I put it on airplane mode because I was being professional.
Oh, wow.
We've got two phones going off. This is all just too much, Emma.
Sorry, it's because everything's linked. Get lost.
You're not coming into this.
Oh, right. Listeners will love this. Yes. It was Nadine Bloody Baggett.
Oh. Who's in the new L'Oreal advert I saw?
I know.
She looks great.
She looks absolutely great. And there was a cover of Stylist. There was a wrap.
Yeah.
And she was on the back of Stylish yesterday. Yeah. And I took a picture of myself on the train looking very world-weary after a long day. And I took a picture and sent it to her with the caption, "No wonder print is dying. No tea, no shade to Stylist." Yeah. And it was with love because obviously I'm hugely chuffed for her that she's on the...
I liked her line, no woman is fine with fine hair. Mm. I was like, you sell that you in sell- love. Oh, I was like, I'm believing and I'm buying. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we can talk about fine hair as well.
We've both got very fine hair. Yeah.
We can talk about this in detail. But let's go back to influencer before we were rudely interrupted by Nadine Baggett.
Influencer. The term influencer basically, guys, is kind of what they say about bloggers, really. It's anyone online, really.
Mm.
And it is a term I have got issue with, because influencer to me suggests it's got connotations of being a gun for hire. Literally, like,
yeah,
you can be bought and your opinion can be bought. And essentially, you're being bought in order to influence someone's opinion. And I'm like, no, your influence comes from having an opinion and having an expertise and having people want to listen to you because you spent so long trying things out and actually they trust you. I think that's really, like, that's the important thing. I just really don't believe in influencers. And also, like, influencer feels very much like that whole Instagram thing. It's not so prevalent now where someone holds up at some sort of teeth whitening thing next to their face. I'm like, no, please stop. But, like, there obviously is a place for that. But influencer is just a dirty word to me.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I feel like the word influencer came out of marketeers not knowing what to call you.
But it's fine to have that chat in boardrooms, like in office spaces. But to take it into the real world is not okay. I actually saw someone had tweeted a while ago, a fellow blogger, and they had tweeted, "So proud of my boyfriend," I think that's what it said, or my boy, who
my bae.
"So proud of my bae. Today he just became a full-time influencer." I was like, sorry, what? Like, WTF bae? Like, what? Like, I've got so many issues with that. What have they decided to do? Like, sell their soul in order to sell Coco White? Like, what is going on?
But also, I feel like it's short-termism gone mad.
Oh my God, so much.
Because someone's become an influencer full time.
Yeah.
Is that because they had 12 months of making X number of £1,000 or dollars so they could afford it? Or is that because they just, was it 1 month of being able to do it, or they got one good deal? Like, is there any good business sense there? So I know exactly what you mean. It's
also tricky because I struggle with the online space for several reasons. One is I think we all, again, serve a purpose. I feel like these super hot things that are on Instagram that can't talk for shit but are just gorgeous. Like, they are gorgeous, and you look at it, you're not even reading what they're writing because they can't write. But you're double tapping without seeing anything else because they're gorgeous. And gorgeous people, they just pull you in.
And they sell products.
And they sell products. And that is how it's always been. But they serve a purpose in that they are the billboards. So they are the modern day billboards. How they affect me is that this gorgeous guy holding up a whatever grooming product that he might have used in his hair, someone's then like, well, what does that actually do? Someone goes on, they Google it, and they find me. And that's when I then will give them the info about it. So I do see us all providing a certain service. And
this is an ecosystem.
Yeah, totally. And the brands that are clued into this will do that. And I quite often see, if there is commercial work coming in, I know that I will provide a function of being more education. And that's exactly what I want to be doing. I always think, if someone's watching my content, I want them to take something away from it. Like, I want there to be an understanding of, yes, buy this. No, don't buy this. This is like this, or it's not like this, or it's going to cost you this, or blah, blah, blah. But these other people don't provide that. And I think that's totally fine.
Yes, everyone has their place. And as long as...
we know our place.
Yes, as long as we're not selling dreams.
Do not try and do video. That's my space. Back off.
I remember when I first... when was it now? The podcast is 2 in April. So it was Christmas 2015. And I had everything in place. I'd, like, done all the research and everything. And I remember I was with my brother and I just said... and I just had that full body sweat. And I went, what if somebody launches a podcast before me? And he said, excellent, because you'll go on their show, they'll come on yours, and you'll cross-pollinate, because that's what the American podcasters did. And the more of you doing it, the better. Yeah. Don't ever worry about that kind of thing.
I think it's also really important in that, you know, understanding that you should have your own point of difference and your own opinion. And that's something that I feel like even a lot of the big YouTube creators and bloggers struggle with, is if you're not authentic actually in your own skin, you can never be like, well, actually, I'm only being myself. If you're constantly trying to be something else or do something that's not you, then you will compare yourself, because you'll be thinking, she's got more subscribers, he's got more of this, this is this, this is this. And that's when it becomes this horrible, competitive, bitchy environment, which it doesn't need to be.
We're not all vying for my friend Mary Kate I was talking to her once, and I think the podcast wasn't that old, and then there were some new podcasts cropping up, and she said the thing that makes your podcast what it is you.
Mm.
No one else can be you.
No.
So just crack on.
Totally.
Don't worry. And the thing that makes Jules' podcast with Sarah amazing is Jules and Sarah.
Yeah.
The thing that makes your channel unique and is you.
Yeah.
So someone can do grooming and style and they can do all of those things, but they're not you. No. So it's different.
Bring your own thing.
Mm.
And it's that's like I went through a real phase, probably even like 2 years ago, where I constantly compared myself to other people. And I got into a real zone of constantly checking Instagram, seeing the numbers on things, setting up reporting tools that would tell me who's getting more subscribers, who's getting more views, where everything was coming from. And I was like, oh my God, it really made me feel like shit.
I bet.
And then I had a moment of like, why are you doing this? Like, fine, he might have more or less in this or whatever, but you're different. And I hate saying brands, but the brands you're creating are so different.
Mm.
And there might be more of one type of person. Is that the right type of person? Who knows? But it's obviously not someone for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. Just be true to you, your audience, and the rest will just work its way out.
Totally. Do you think Sam and Nick get worried about people doing makeup tutorials on Instagram and YouTube? Of course they don't. Because they are who they are. Yeah. I don't think they...
Absolutely not. Yeah.
It's something that... It's a very easy trap to fall into.
Totally.
Especially you're like me, you've made your nice comfortable nest at home, you've got your...
Which I call the nest.
Do you
Yeah, I call my home the nest. Also because my name is Robin, so there's a bit of a pun there.
Robin
the nest, yeah.
Oh, I mean, please get a plaque outside your house. Put that on
My Wi-Fi is called...
I thought you said wife then, I thought I've got everything so terribly wrong.
My wife at home, she's in the nest, yes.
In a basement.
In a basement. Oh, God.
No, sorry. It's just I genuinely thought
you were
saying
wife. Gone very dark here. Yeah. No.
It's the head cold. I apologise.
The head cold.
So your Wi-Fi is...
My Wi-Fi is called The Nest. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you need a turret now.
Yeah, oh, I'd love that. Yes, please.
Or an oast house.
Mm.
You're a London dweller now. Do you want to live elsewhere? Having lived in Inverness or grown up in Inverness?
So I'm from Forres in the northeast of Scotland, 30 miles east of Inverness, between Inverness and Aberdeen. It's gorgeous. Like, I never really appreciated where I was from until I moved. I think that's, everyone will be in that same circle. Yep. Like, right on the coast, I was always like, oh, this is boring, this is shit, Like, there was nothing around.
Were you desperate to get to the, were you like, I know that MTV... I know that that world does exist and I want to be in it.
Desperate.
Yeah.
I had the hunger. I literally had the thirst for just get out of here. And I moved to Glasgow and I was just like, this is me. Everyone, I'm here. And I literally was like...
Zara on the high street.
I was literally like, there's a Zara. There's a top man. There's a beard one and oboe one. Like, I was literally like, come on. Like, this is
come
me.
On, world.
Come on. Come and get me. And it was amazing. But, you know, now I'm like, I just want to get home. Want to go back. I don't want to live there, like, let's be clear. If cash was not an option, I would love to have a flat. I mean, this is like me really pie in the sky. Would love a flat in London. And then I would love a little cottage or a house by the sea at home. Like, that would be gorgeous, just because it's, you get off, if you fly up, so you fly to Inverness, Tile Cross, you get off the plane and the thing you first notice is like, you can breathe. The air is so pure. Also, I run, so...
I know you run.
I do, I'm a runner. And, like, I've done a marathon, so I know what I'm doing. But when I've got legs, I know what I'm doing, move them fast. But when I run here, like, it's all good, it's all great.
Until you blow your nose.
Until you blow your nose, and it's like, ooh, what is that? But when I was at home over Christmas, I ran 6.5 miles with no bother. And I was like, what is it here? Like, it's literally the air. Your lungs are full and it feels good and your body's moving.
Were you like Jason Bourne? I can run flat out for half a mile before my hands start to shake.
I'm going. But it's beautiful. So, I mean, my sister and her husband. Hi, Erin, if you're listening. You're all right.
Oh, yeah, Erin's a listener.
Erin's a listener. Well, she will be now. If she's not, press that subscribe button. Go for it.
And leave a 5-star rating.
And leave a 5-star rating. She lives in Edinburgh. With her husband. She's got a gorgeous 3-bedroom house. And I'm like, my life is like so far away from that.
Mm.
And we are living very different lives. But I'm also like, I want my own house. And like, is that possible in London? Hello. Like,
I don't want to kill the dream for you,
yeah,
darling.
I maybe just not, don't know. Maybe, maybe not in the short industry. Term. Can't even sell my body. I don't think I'd get that much for it. Yeah, maybe sell an organ. Yeah.
But I think that's really common. But then, do you really want it? I remember reconnecting with a lot of people that I grew up with a few years ago and feeling really terrible about myself because I didn't have any children and they were all, I think, all but one had kids. They were all in long-term relationships or marriages. They all had homes with two garages and they hadn't really left where we had all gone to school and everything. And there was a part of me thinking, oh God, I should be doing that, shouldn't I? And then I thought, no, because I wouldn't be happy.
It's so
tricky. It's not that it's a bad way to live, but I don't think it would nourish me.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think, you know, I've got friends that are at home and they're living like the best life for them and they love it and they've got kids and I look at pictures and I'm like, you're so happy and they wouldn't want to be doing what I'm doing, but it's like, well, they might think they might and I might think I want their life, but it's like the grass is always greener. Like we went home, we quite often have the girls lunch at Christmas and me, token boy, just sat there like eating a garlic ciabatta and a bottle of wine. And
you're my kind of man, you know.
That's me. Just pass me the garlic ciabatta and I'll be fine. But you know, they were all talking about weddings and I sat there and I was like, I'm the only single person at this table. Robin leans in seductively, raises an eyebrow. Yes. And I was just like, God, everyone is so grown up. You know, there's people at this table with kids and I'm so far away from that. I mean, I could adopt a 6-year-old tomorrow and literally be 6 years ahead. But
I'd really question the agency that you used for that.
Yeah, I know. I'd be like, I just want something from all around the world.
No, but I think it's because I've had this conversation with many people about those are the landmarks that make us think that we're grown up. Oh, so God. I was 40 in December.
Yes.
You which may have noticed.
Which I loved the 40 days or 40. That's not what it was called, was it? 40. No, it
40,
was.
40 days of 40.
40 days of 40.
We met during 40 days of 40.
Because I really enjoyed it. I went back on your stuff and I was like, this is such a great idea.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But one of the reasons I did it, and I don't know whether I talked about this in the podcast because I wanged on about it so much, but I don't know if I mentioned this. As somebody who's never been engaged, married, pregnant, bought a house, I've never...
We'll see how tonight goes. Well, let's get one of those sorted.
Am I really, really misreading things? What about your Wi-Fi? No, anyway, I realised I'd never had any of those landmark occasions that society... celebrates.
Yeah.
So I had got to 40 without having any of those celebrations or any of those landmarks. And so I think part of that has sort of embedded itself and made me think that I'm behind.
Yeah.
But totally. You're not, but I'm not.
No. I do think that's city living too. Like we live a fast-paced life, but in terms of like lifelines, I was going to say life plans, I suppose, and you know, married at this age and having kids by this age, and it's not quite the same here. I mean, there are some people that are living this lifestyle here and it's very much working for them, but no, that's just not for me.
And you've talked about, since we've been recording, about how you want to basically have five other people executing what goes on in your brain. Yeah. So I don't think it would...
No.
It would be your thing. You'd be like, where's my ideas?
Where's my ideas? I went to see... I went to see a psychic when I was in LA last June, and we spoke a bit about before we started this again
it
about the moon.
Tyler Henry, was it?
No, it was no one of a name. And I went in. I was leaving LA that day, and I was kind of wandering around, and I walked past this place, and I was like, "Ooh, that looks mysterious." And I popped in, and there was all these stones and things and dream catchers and all that good stuff. Started talking to the woman. I said, "Oh, have you got any appointments free to?" She said, "Yeah, we've got one in like 15 minutes. And I was like, "Oh my God, cool. Like, yeah, sign me up.
I'll just go next door and get a juice. Yeah. I'll be right back."
I was like, "I'm just going to get a carriage juice next door." You know, I just was like, "Sign me up. I'm going in. Get this sorted." Like, because I had a great trip. I was like, I want someone to tell me what to do with my life. Like, literally, tell me now.
How come you'd gone there before we continue this?
Why did I go to LA?
For work? Or?
Yeah, so I am... a lot of my audience are US-based. So US, UK. And I wanted to go... I love New York. Like, I'd been once before.
That's the name of an excellent book by a wonderful woman called Lindsay Kelk, by the way.
Also, great song by Madonna, isn't it? I Love New York. She's not... just like, oh my God, I might be making this up. Such an awful gay. I don't know these things. Yes, guys, I'm gay. There you go. Just outed myself on Emma Gunn's podcast. There you go.
Well, that'll set
shock,
me up. That'll
shock horror. Yeah. Number one. Yeah, but where was I with this? Oh, yeah. So I'd gone... Sorry, side note. So I'd had a trip to New York, and I thought, I'll do a few places. So I did New York, San Francisco, which I loved. Mm. Absolute, j'adore that place. It's amazing. Then I went to LA, and I just didn't get into LA. I think because I don't know anyone there. Whereas New York, got a few friends there, and they just go wild and wild. And I was like, we're going out. And I was like living like a local. Like literally
you
going.
You can in New York, yeah. But you can't in LA. Also, LA's quite
the accent gets you so far. I just went mental. Loved it. Also, really strengthened the Scottish accent. So I was like, yeah, I'll have a whiskey. Yeah, cheers.
He's necking whiskey.
Just necking whiskey.
If you're not sure, yeah. I'm Scottish.
And I'm single. Lols. Oh my god, I'm really sweating in here. Have you got the heating on? It's the underfloor heating it's in this place. Isn't
I put
it?
The heating on. It was like, freezing
might
in
have
here.
To take my grey crew neck. It's merino. I might take this off.
It's actually the thing that's making me laugh is it's on one of the videos that I watched earlier.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Where you tried on an alternative and it was just swamped you.
I was like, I can't wear this. No.
Whereas this one gives you, you've still got this the chunk in it on the arm.
Still got the chunk on the arm. I do have really bad sweat marks.
But you're wearing dark blue. I can't see. I'm going to take my scarf off.
Of course.
God, is this strip podcasting?
Here we go. Yeah, strip podcasting. I love it.
This is how it always goes with my guests. Starts.
I'm going to show a bit of chest. So went across, did New York, loved it. Went wild. Did San Francisco, and then I went to LA. And on my final day, I was like, I just want to have like a moment here. Like, want to buy a moment. So I popped into this place, and the woman was like, "Yeah, we've got something in 15 minutes." So she said, can I take some details? And I was like, oh my God, are you going to do your research on me? I was like, absolutely not. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go and look at this crystal. And she was like, well, oh, how long have you been here for? So the woman on reception, I was like, you're literally doing like what?
Background check.
Yeah, background check. And also to feed to the woman next door.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I was just interested. I was like, oh, I'm just going to take a call, like really pretend I was on the phone. So I gave her my name and that was it. Then just before I went through, she like texted the woman to say the next one's coming through. And I was like, this is a bit like fishy. Anyway, went in. The woman who like had the nicest Chanel bag. I was like, okay, this place looks like an absolute dive, but clearly you're doing very well. So I thought, I kind of just want to make this a bit difficult for you. So I like told her nothing about me, like didn't really get into it. But some of the stuff she said was quite interesting. I feel like you hold on to certain things.
Mm.
Although you kind of... I feel like certain things will hold you back if someone tells you something. Like she said, I wouldn't meet someone until I'm 40, like proper, which I'm kind of like, oh, I mean, I don't really believe in her, but you know, there's little things that she said, but it's put in my head. But also that said, so I remember doing the Ouija board when I was, don't do it guys, seriously.
I wouldn't go near that stuff.
I did it when I was 11 with my friend Katie Proctor. Hi, Katie. And
hi Katie, she listens.
She listens. And we did the Ouija board in our house. And I remember asking the Ouija board if I was going to be famous. Because that's, you know, when you're a kid, you just want to be famous. I want to be a Blue Peter presenter or some sort of lawyer on TV. Yeah, sure. Like Ally McBeal.
Apples and oranges, mate.
Absolutely. Have it all. Have it all. And I remember the Ouija board saying no. And I just remember that always hanging around me and being really gutted. Also,
that was Katie Proctor.
That was Katie Proctor. Really pushing that one. Fuck you, Katie. No. Anyway. And then I remember also I went to this, it was like a summer camp sort of thing. And there was a woman there that said she could read palms. Palms. And she took my palms and she looked at it and she said, you have two love lines running parallel to each other. So one starts and one starts before the other one ends. And it really put a fear in my head. And that was age 15, maybe. Basically telling me that two of my greatest loves will overlap. And that's really made me feel weird about things. I'm like, what if I'm going to cheat? Or is it because someone becomes ill? I don't know. But I feel like, don't go to these things. I've just jumped around from New York to San Francisco
to
LA.
So you were in the place. Despite these experiences, still went to go and see someone.
I still went to go and see someone. But I feel like that's part of me just wanting to be told what to do.
Mm.
Like I said to her, like, she's like, have you got any questions for the spirits? And I was like, am I doing the right thing? She's like, in what area of your life? And I was like, like my job. And she's like, the spirits think yes, but there's more you could be doing. I'm like, yeah, but what? Like, tell me, like, what should I be doing? I was like,
but what did you want the spirits to say?
I kind of wanted them to just say, yeah, go for it, love. You're doing really well. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just felt like I wanted guidance. I think that comes back to working by myself.
Mm.
There's not really a mentor. Like, I can talk to my dad, I can talk to my mom, I can talk to my friends, but no one's in the same space as me.
Mm.
And it's like, it's very difficult to have that. And I think that's probably why I did want to do this weird woman with a gorgeous Chanel bag in LA. I mean, this story had absolutely no significance to anything, but I just really enjoyed it.
I liked it.
I'm just like really leaning back on this sofa in my merino turtleneck.
That wasn't coffee. That's just, that was a
what was in that? Yeah, I'm going, hunger.
You'll wake up at 2 o'clock this morning covered in the faux fur.
Yeah.
Like, where am I?
Yeah.
I'll be watching CBeebies.
Yeah.
Not CBeebies.
Oh my God.
That's Children's Television for International.
Babe Station.
No. Celebrity Big Brother is on at the moment.
Oh yeah, CBeeB.
I meant CBeeB, yeah. Singular. So, right.
You're like, where do I go with this?
Where do I go?
Robin, there's too much.
Where do I go from the psychic? No, I think it's interesting what you say about working for yourself and having your own...
Mm.
It's the, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, it's the road less travelled. So there's blueprint for success when it comes to our good friend Jules Von Hess,
yeah.
a celebrity tanner. No one has really paved way. You can't do a course in celebrity tanning. You can't do a course in what you do because...
Although give it time. I'm sure there'll be one.
You're right,
up.
One.
Yeah.
But let's, like,
come and do my YouTube. Yeah.
You can you imagine if we set up a school like...
Xavier School for the yes, X-Men. X-Men. Love it. Yes.
You, me, Jules.
Yeah,
get
gorgeous.
A few others involved. We would be keen. Like the X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, I'm literally going to
let me just text Zoella. I'll see if she's keen. Hey, Zoella, love. You're not busy. You need the extra cash.
She'd be Jean Grey.
Oh my God, she'd be all over that, wouldn't she?
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, right. That's a business plan. Yeah. We'll have to.
Maybe we actually have to cut this bit out of the podcast in case someone else steals the idea.
Nix the idea of turning into a school for the gifted.
Gifted bloggers.
And a rather excellent movie franchise. Who would play you in a film
God, gorgeous question. I mean, I am multi talented, so I'll probably play myself. Maybe not. Emma shakes her head in disagreement. I don't know. That's a really good question.
I just don't want you to miss out on being on set that day in your chair, directing someone to be
maybe you. Zac Efron.
Oh, I can actually see
that. I can see it. I mean, I'm obviously a lot more attracted than him. For anyone that doesn't know what I look like, I'm literally a better version of Zac Efron.
But also, you do have the most piercing blue eyes.
They are good eyes.
That
I give myself
ever
that.
Existed.
Yeah, ever.
On your YouTube channel, do you use a ring light?
No, but I do know my lighting, yeah. Robin, I also only ever wear blue. Blue, navy and grey, because it makes my eyes look bluer.
Oh, now this is the first video of yours that I actually watched today.
Yes.
And it was how to dress.
Yeah,
and it was how
create
to
your
find,
signature style, basically, yeah.
A capsule wardrobe. And actually, I have to be really honest, and I'm not... And this will come as a surprise to many people. No way. I'm not a particularly fashion... person.
Right.
I'm a dress for comfort. I like my... No, that's not really fair. That makes me sound like an absolute slob. But I've never really felt like fashion has loved me as much as I've loved fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times trying to get into straight cut trousers.
Oh my God, I hear you
It just hurts me and my soul. But you gave advice in that video, and although 95% of your audience is male?
94%.
Mm-hmm. Apologies.
It's quite all right.
Sorry, I just assumed it had gone up since we've been recording.
I mean, probably has, yeah.
I feel like that is one of the best videos I've seen for me, because as well as just saying, right, choose a colour.
Yeah. It's a colour palette, yeah.
Choose a colour palette. So you are blues, grey.
White, grey, yeah.
White, so you always white, say white.
White, some Scottish. Yeah, white. But it's because... I just know what suits me. Like, blue actually as a colour makes me feel good. It looks good on me. It's has a sort of a difference or energy. I know hot colours don't suit me.
Mm.
Red is draining on me. You know, pinks, oranges, green, yellow doesn't work on my skin tone. Like, I'm quite fair, but with dark hair and blue eyes, like, blue just works perfectly, and grey picks up on it too.
Mm.
And what you do actually by taking just one colour palette, it means you can take, like I said this in a little Instagram Ask Man for Himself video. I said basically, you know, take two from the top, two from the bottom, you know, take that blazer, take that shirt, jeans and whatever else might be on the bottom, but I don't know. And you can literally throw anything together. If it's one colour palette, you've got the right fit of clothing. So if you're someone that loves tailored clothing, then stick to that.
Mm.
But if you're a woman or a guy who likes, you know, grungier stuff or boho or, I don't know, like streetwear, then stick with that.
Mm.
And it means that one colour palette, that one sort of theme means you can mix and match perfectly and you'll never get it wrong.
And I'd never thought about that. And it reminds me of the closet in Clueless that Cher, where she does the digital thing. Like, you don't need the digital iPad closet thing. Because, as you say, if you've got a spectrum of blues and you've got a spectrum of greys, you can just chop and change.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're wearing one of the jumpers that was in the video.
I'm wearing one of the jumpers, and all I'm wearing now is blues and a bit of hair product down the front of my jeans.
But in the video, that jumper you wore with a very bright, almost blue. Like royal blue shirt, whereas you're wearing it today with a
navy turtleneck with a lot of chest out. Yeah, there is a lot of this underfloor eating.
I know. I should really turn it down.
We can go with it.
We are coming to the end of our time together because we've been recording for an hour and 10 minutes. It feels like about five. It is.
Yeah.
I could talk to you for hours. Maybe we should do a part two.
Oh, gosh.
So, a note on which to finish. Oh, my... The one thing that I've not asked you about.
What?
David Beckham.
Oh, my God, David Beckham.
So, listeners, Robin...
Hi there.
...was granted the only face-to-face interview with David Beckham when he launched his fragrance Respect.
Respect. Respect. Respect, yeah.
Respect.
No tea. Drop the tea. Respect.
Respect.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be gorge. We should be voiceover artists.
Oh, we so should.
Oh, no, you should.
I should, yes.
Yeah, you should.
I'll take that compliment. Yes, I should.
Yes, I should. Congratulations. You were given the only face-to-face interview with him now.
For the UK.
For the UK. But that is a really big deal. And the reason why that is a big deal is because brands are incredibly protective. None more so than someone like him, who was incredibly wary around the press, very specific about who he works with. And so for you to be given by a big, big, big brand, and it wasn't just his fragrance, they're owned by one of the big beauty companies, Coty. So they have a massive strategy. They look after lots like of the everything. Big designer fragrances. Yeah. Etc. That for me, and I'm guessing for you, was a real landmark moment of man for himself is taken seriously, and this is a really viable platform upon which product can be sold and messages, brand messages, can be communicated well. Is that what you took from that, or did you just go, oh, I'm gonna meet David Beckham?
I didn't just get given that, I had to fight for that. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I think you don't see with a lot of online personalities, influencers, bloggers, whatever you want to say. You know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and the successful ones are working and grafting and pushing and really trying to carve out this brand, whatever it is. And I, like many other bloggers or whoever sort of working in this industry, will meet PRs, and it's so important to have a good relationship with these people, to actually genuinely like them, want to spend time with them, and want to and believe in the products that they are ultimately selling.
Mm-hmm.
And you are that vehicle to sell those products. And like, make no mistake, nothing comes for free. That breakfast does not come for free. Those products don't come for free. And they want something. But from that, I had a really great breakfast meeting with this gorgeous PR, gotten really well. And she was like, do you know what? We've got a few things coming up. One is actually that classic of, I can't say too much, but we've got a fragrance being launched by David Beckham.
If we were to call you at 7 a.m. on the morning of Thursday, the blah, 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 could you be in central London within 45 minutes?
Exactly. Yeah. That was the vibe. And I was like, okay, great. And I was like, is there an interview opportunity? They're like, oh, no, not really. Like, there might be like a quick picture with them, or like, you know, a quick sort of written thing. And I was like, oh yeah, well, I want interview time. It's like, oh, well, Robin, we probably can't. Like, right, I'll pitch. Like, I'll email you straight after this. I'll tell you what I want, how I want it, how it will look. Okay. Yeah, cool. So I went away from that and I was like, well, I really want this. So I sent across a couple of examples. I actually was lucky enough to have an interview with Lewis Hamilton on his yacht the year before, which was insane. I was horrendously hungover to the point that I slept through my alarm. I was hammered the night before. I fell asleep talking to the president of L'Oreal. It was one of like, the trip was insane, and I just got too wet and wild and too excited. It was in Monaco. So I've side noted, but that trip was insane. We'd flown into Nice. They got us an Ubercopter, not even a lie, an Ubercopter from Nice into Monaco. Went to this, like, I love a drink. I often get overexcited and just hadn't really eaten that day. Had just gone wet and wild and just, oh, it was insane. But the next day, so we'd done this interview and I had time with Lewis Hamilton, who actually was a really nice guy. What he said recently about kids not wearing princess dresses, I'm like, oh, come on, mate, seriously. Mm. But
that
at
was
the
very
time,
anger-making.
Oh, totally. But I mean, that's an aside. And I think at the heart of it, he's a good guy and actually really great to chat to. Anyway, so when I'd gone back home after this meeting and wanting time with David Beckham, I kind of sent across a couple of examples of I've done this, but also, you know, in a previous life, I've done red carpet reporting and I've done junkets talking to Charlize Theron or, you know, Chris Hemsworth or people like that. So I'd had time and I'd had experience of interviewing and chatting to and just being professional with these creatures who you cannot put a foot wrong with.
Mm-mm.
Everything has got to be perfect. Otherwise, there's hell to pay and you will know about it. So they basically said, okay, well, that's great. We've got some time with David, but it's going to be as a group. So it'll be you, three other guys. And I was like,
That doesn't work for me.
I can do that, but you probably won't get video from me. And that's what they want from me is I've got a YouTube channel which has a male audience and they want video. So I kind of played on that a little bit and was like, well, if you want it, then give me some time.
And that is the bigger picture here, regard whether it's your channel or whether it's anything else, is have belief in your product.
But I also said to them, like, I know my audience would genuinely love this. Like, the guy is like an icon to many young guys, old guys, women. Like, he's a babe and also he's just like so interesting. So they basically said, we've got some time with this. I basically pulled together a treatment, so how it would look, where the cameras were. They were like, great, Robin, we might be able to do this. Anyway, they said, we've managed to secure one-to-one interview. We'd love to give it to you. And I was like, yes, you would. Yes, please. I was like, I am there. However, we can only give you one camera angle, which has to be signed off, which is absolutely normal. In a junket, you've got an A camera, which goes on talent. You've got a B camera, which is the one on you. Like, it's got crap lighting or whatever. But the A one is set up because there are people who are crafted and look in a certain way and everything is so fine-tuned. So I was like, okay, well, we can see if we can make this work. You know, I want to take my videographer. And they're like, oh, we might not be able to do that. You know, it's a very closed set. Anyway, managed to get there that day. They were like, you can only have one camera, but you can talk to his people when they come in and see if you can get something sorted. So went in, we set up, and I said to my video guy, Adam, who is like a babe, he's great. And I said to you before, you know, we get on so well, we know how each other works. I was like, Adam, just set the second camera up. Like, I'll see if we can get this proofread. He was like, all right, okay, yeah. So like, okay, cool. Sort that. And also I was like, straight after it, here's my phone, come across and take pictures. If we get told off, then we get told off. But I was like, I want pictures. So they were like, you can only have a professional, which is absolutely fine. Anyway, so David comes in. He's got long hair at this time. Still has long hair.
Was it when he was tucking it behind his ears with the centre part?
So he's tucking it behind his ears. And I'd actually met David Beckham before at a Hague club launch in a very intimate gathering. And the guy has got a presence. Like, this guy is gorgeous. He's just got such an aura of being just like he's just an icon.
Side note, there is nothing like it for sportsmen.
Yeah.
When they walk into a room, there's a completely different physicality.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And it's because they make their living
a
very good one, thank you very much, with their bodies. That's the way my brain interprets it.
But in saying that too, you know, he's actually quite shy. You know, he kind of had his head down slightly, but he made sure he kind of worked the room. He'd said hi to everyone and it was just so charming. Came down, sat down. And I said to his team, who were actually really lovely, and I said, you know, can I have a second camera set up? And she looked at me, she's like, yeah, absolutely, just go for it. I was like, great, okay, well, that's me being very upfront and doing it. And, you know, we sat down and fine, questions had to be pre-approved, but that's what happens. And he was just such a nice guy.
Mm.
I mean, he's media trained to within an inch of his life, but everyone is, you know, that's how it goes. But
benefits everyone because
totally.
He gives you what you want.
Yeah, he gives me exactly what I want. But, you know, before and after the camera, he spoke very candidly about just taking the kids to school. He'd just been down checking out the wine cellar. Like, he was just a really nice guy. And I just, yeah. Also, the content did very well for me.
Yeah.
You know, like it moved me into, I suppose, a different sort of space. And I would love to do more of that. Like, I really love doing that.
Well, the thing is as well, and again, when we spoke before the podcast recording, you were talking about your voice training.
I mean, voice training was very minor.
Yes, but you have a good voice, you have a good command. And you, when you do your street style videos where you're stopping people on the street, essentially, and that's no joy. I mean, we all get stopped on the street and asked to have a chat about, you know, broadband or whatever. But actually stopping someone, the conversations and the way you're able to make them flow, it's very professional interviewer style. So I could really imagine that being a strong franchise for you.
But I just honestly love it. Like, even now we're sitting having a chat, I feel really comfortable. I love chatting to people. I'm interested. I kind of want to be able to tell a story. I kind of want to get a story from people. And that's kind of the whole part of what we do, is storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's what it's built on. It's built on human emotion, how something makes you feel. And how did you feel in that moment, and how it connects to how other people are feeling. I just think it's one of the best things that we can be doing.
I agree. And I love that you've come on the show and that you've told me lots of stories.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it. It's got very dark outside.
I know, but only because it's nighttime, not because I've done anything.
Oh, God, you're taking that off too. Where are we going with this? No, not at all.
Honestly, listeners, hasn't this been wonderfully ridiculous? I've had such a good time. And I'm so grateful because Robin actually came all the way out to my little flat.
Your gorgeous abode.
But I did make him a lovely coffee in my new coffee mug.
So I'd like a glass of wine now, actually.
That's exactly what we're going to do. Should we go and get wet and wild? Because you said that a few times, okay.
I love getting wet and wild.
We're off to go and get wet and wild. Listeners, thank you so much. I'm going to put all of the links to Man for Himself in the show notes. The YouTube channel, the blog, Instagram, all your social media handles. And with a hearty, hearty call to action to go and follow you and to engage in what you do. And even all the women out there, I'm going to specifically put the link to that style video that you did where you talk about how to filter websites, how to find your color palette, all of those things. I thought that was a really valuable video that I shall probably watch again and then have a big splurge on ASOS and buy some things. Robin, thank you so much. Before you leave me, I just wanted to say a huge thank you for listening. Your support really does mean so, so much. And that's why all those lovely 5-star ratings and reviews that you've been leaving on iTunes mean the world to me. They help this show get noticed on a massive, massive platform. So if you haven't left a 5-star review yet, why not head over to iTunes right now? Click those 5 stars, write a little review about what you like. And that would make my day, and maybe it might make yours. Or if you just want to get in touch with the show, just email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram and Twitter, where I am at Emma Guns. I'm going to be back with another midweek show very, very soon. But for now, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next one.